Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 conference call of Ambuja Cements, ACC, and Sanghi Industries hosted by Antique Stock Broking. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Charanjit Singh, Head Investor Relations. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Singh.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking out the time to join this call. On behalf of Adani Cements, a very warm welcome to all of you. Before I hand over the call to Mr. Ajay Kapur for his opening remarks, I'll make a request that kindly limit your questions to one or a max of two, and then you can re-enter the question queue. On this side, we have Mr. Ajay Kapur and Mr. Vinod Bethi, the CEO and the CFO, to answer your questions. We will go for around an hour, so hopefully we'll manage to answer all your questions. But in case something gets left, then kindly feel free to reach out to the IR post the call. Thank you very much, and over to you, Ajay.
Thank you, Charanjit. Good afternoon to all of you. Warm greetings. Thank you for joining us today. It is my pleasure to share with you the operational and financial performance of Adani Group's cement business for the quarter ended 31st December 2023. To begin with, the consolidated quarterly YoY performance, we registered a revenue of rupees 8,129 crores, a jump of 3%. This is largely driven by a strong focus on our micro-market management strategy, expansion of dealer network, blended cement as a mix of total sales was maintained at 87%, premium products as a percentage of trade sales volume increased to 22%. Operational cost for the quarter was at rupees 4,526 per ton, shows a decline of 10%. This is attributable to a 21% decline in energy cost driven by better fuel management, which resulted in reduction of kiln fuel by 25% to rupees 1.84 per 1,000 kcal from 2.45. The transportation cost declined by 1% to 1,297 per ton on account of footprint optimization. The direct dispatch to customers has further increased to 52% from 50%. The rail coefficient stands at 26%. Other expenses stand at rupees 777 per ton. With the improvements mentioned on both revenue and cost, EBITDA grew by 70% at rupees 1,732 crores and EBITDA per ton at rupees 1,225, implying a jump of 65%. EBITDA margin expanded by 8.4 percentage points to 21.3%. The CapEx spend of rupees 1,048 crores was achieved from internal accruals and cash in hand. As of 31st December, the consolidated cash and cash equivalent in the company's books stood at rupees 8,591 crores. Reduction in consolidated cash was on account of acquisition of Sanghi Industries, resulting in cash outflow of rupees 3,801 crores. Now, looking at the nine months YoY performance, revenue is up 5% at rupees 24,266 crores. EBITDA grew at 91% at rupees 4,701 crores. On a per-ton basis, it was rupees 1,103, implying a jump of 82%, and EBITDA margin too expanded by 8.7 percentage points to 19.4%. Now, coming to standalone performance of Ambuja for the quarter ended 31st March, on a YoY basis, the revenue is up 8% at rupees 4,440 crores, in line with the volume growth of 6%. EBITDA jumped by 33% to rupees 851 crores. EBITDA per ton stood at rupees 1,043, a jump of 26%, and EBITDA margin expanded by 3.7 percentages to 9.2%. We had a robust PAT growth of 39% to rupees 514 crores. Speaking of the last nine months' standalone performance on a YoY basis, net revenue up 11% at rupees 13,139 crores, in line with volume growth of 12%. EBITDA jumped by 57% at ₹2,573 crores. EBITDA on a per ton basis was ₹1,035, a jump of 40%, and margin expanded by 5.7% at 19.6. We had a robust PAT growth of 16% to ₹1,802 crores. Now let me share with you the progress that we have made on our announced long-term strategic plan. Firstly, on our new capacity addition, in line with our plan to add around 40 million tons of new clinker capacity, Ametha integrated unit in Madhya Pradesh has now been commissioned, enhancing the clinker capacity by 3.3 million tons. Acquisition of Sanghi has increased our clinker capacity by another 6.6 million tons. With these two additions, we have already added 10 million tons of clinker out of 40 million tons as we had planned. Now our total clinker capacity stands at 51 million tons. For doubling the capacity of grinding facilities to 140 million tons by FY28, we are targeting around 35 new grinding units. 1 million ton of grinding unit at Ametha has now been commissioned. Acquisition of Sanghi has increased our grinding capacity by 6.1 million tons. Further acquisition of remaining stake in Asian Concrete and Cements Private Limited has increased our grinding capacity by another 1.5 million tons. Our grinding capacity now stands at 77.4 million tons. Another two units are mapped to the upcoming clinker facility of Bhatapara of 4 million tons. These include one at Sankaril and one at Farakka in West Bengal. Another two units are mapped to Chandrapur clinker facility of 4 million tons in Maharashtra. These include one unit at Jalgaon and one at Amravati. Other grinding units which are being set up are Salai Banwa in Uttar Pradesh, Sindri in Jharkhand, Marwar at Marwar in Rajasthan. All these units are expected to get commissioned by FY26 end. Additionally, we would be also setting up grinding units at Hoshiarpur, Punjab, Varasili Ganj in Bihar, and Pune in Maharashtra to be commissioned by FY27. For the new facilities of 4 million ton clinker at Bhatapara, 30% of civil execution work is now complete and major equipment dispatch has also commenced. Expected completion is by quarter 4 FY25. For its corresponding grinding unit at Sankaril and Farakka, order has been placed on EPC vendor and 80% of the piling work has been completed at the site. Expected completion of these units is by quarter 3 FY25. For the new facility of 4 million ton clinker line at Maharashtra in Chandrapur, LOI has been placed on the EPC vendor. Site development and pre-project work has already been started. EC approval is expected in this quarter. Expected completion by quarter 2 FY26. Each of these kiln lines will have 42 megawatts of waste heat recovery and provision for utilizing beyond 30% alternate fuels. We also placed orders on EPC basis for grinding units at Salai Banwa, Uttar Pradesh, 2.4 million tons, Sindri, 2.4 million tons in Jharkhand. At our Salai Banwa grinding unit in Uttar Pradesh, groundbreaking activities have already been done. We will continue to provide progress updates of new orders and also the progress on individual products on an ongoing basis. Now sharing an update on the structural initiatives to become the cost leader in the Indian cement industry. In my last call and also in our strategy presentation, I have guided for a total cost reduction of over ₹400 per ton. Let me first discuss on the progress made to reduce our energy cost. Our waste heat recovery capacity at the time of takeover last year, September 22, was 40 megawatts, which are now targeting to increase to 186 megawatt by March 25. At present, the waste heat recovery capacity stands at 119 megawatts. We have recently announced installation of 1000 megawatt of RE energy, which is expected to get commissioned by FY26 and would ensure that 60% of our power requirements would be through green power. This would help in reducing the power cost by rupees 90 per ton on the expanded capacity by FY28. On multiple occasions, I have highlighted that we want to be self-sufficient on our coal requirements with captive coal mines. As a result, we have started bidding for coal mines in the auctions being conducted by the Government of India. Besides the 1.3 million captive coal mine at Garepalma, which Ambuja has since 2018, we have won the bid for 2 million ton coal mine in Dahegaon Govri in Maharashtra. The two mines together would cater to around 40 to 50% of our current coal requirements. Our power and fuel costs have decreased by 21% to rupees 1,353 per ton in quarter 3 FY24 from rupees 1,702 per ton in quarter 3 FY23, driven by better fuel management and structural initiatives undertaken. These initiatives include an increase in share of AFR and waste heat recovery in fuel and power mix. Share of AFR in fuel mix has improved to 9.1%, which was 7.1% at the time of acquisition. Share of waste heat recovery in power mix has increased to 12.7% from 3.4% at the time of acquisition. The second cost item is freight and forwarding costs. These are three focus areas for cost reduction here. First, reduction in lead distance. Second, warehouse footprint optimization. And third, railroad mix optimization. We are targeting to reduce the average primary lead distance to about 100 kilometers. Lead distance in the current quarter was 284 versus 291 at the time of acquisition. For Ambuja standalone, in quarter 3 FY24, it was 277 kilometers, and for ACC, it was 295. We have made progress on warehouse optimization as well and increased the direct dispatches from 50 to 52% on a YOY basis. With focus on cost reduction in logistics, we have ordered 11 general purpose wagon investment scheme, rakes of which 7 have already been delivered and the rest are expected to be delivered by the end of the current financial year. These trains will enable cost-efficient clinker movement from the mother plants. Apart from these, we have also ordered 26 DCFC rakes for safe and cost-efficient transportation of fly ash from thermal power stations to our facility. The cost reduction is mainly driven by detailed route planning at each micro-market level and adherence to our L1 source, renegotiation on commercial terms, GPS and technological measures. And today, 98% of our fleet leaving the plant is now tagged with the GPS system. On account of these initiatives, our logistics costs have reduced to 1,297 per ton in quarter 3 FY24 versus 1,310 per ton in quarter 3 FY23. To secure our limestone supplies, we have also won bids for 10 new mines, with one each in Orissa, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, two in Gujarat and five in Rajasthan. Together, these limestone reserves are estimated to have a total reserve of 586 million tons of limestone. And with the acquisition of Sanghi, we are optimizing the infrastructure at the site that would enable efficient transportation of cement from the plant to the jetty through mechanized conveyor belts. Along with other basic infrastructure updates, we are expecting a modest capex of rupees 200 crores to improve the efficiency at the Sanghi plant. The master supply agreement has been signed between Ambuja and Sanghi and ACC and Sanghi. That would enable in improving the utilization of Sanghipuram unit from current 25-30% to 75-80% in the near future. Improved utilization levels would enable us to transform the company from EBITDA negative to EBITDA positive within a very short span of time. In conclusion, we have made strong strides both operationally and financially in the recent quarter, a testament to our consistent efforts and strategic planning. We continue to generate significant cash to finance our expansion and pay dividends to our shareholders. Your trust and support have been our guiding force. Thank you for believing in us.
So just to...
I'll now request my colleague Vinod, our CFO, to also start the initial remarks.
Thank you, Ajay ji. I also just want to... exert my jubilance in terms of some of the important parameters. For this quarter, we have achieved EBITDA on a consolidated basis per metric ton of 1225, which is highest amongst the peers group. Our EBITDA margin of, say, 21.3% is amongst the highest in the industry. Our rating is reaffirmed to AAA level, stable long-term, or highest PAT margin of 13.4% in the industry. Net worth is lifetime high at 42,824 odd crores. And in terms of cash and cash equivalent at 8,500 odd crores, we are again in the highest category. From a trade sales perspective, the percentage is again the highest. And from a premium cement sales, our percentage is again very high. If you see in 9 months, the cost reduction, which is achieved almost at 10%, we were almost at 4,700 rupees a ton in December last year. And now we are at close to 4,300. So this 400 rupees odd ton which has been saved is again the cost leadership which has been highlighted. And if you see the investor deck also, there were some feedback to bring in more and more information. So this time we have covered lots of additional information in our investor deck. So I'm sure people would have gone through it, all of you, and we are open to questions now.
Operator, can you open the line for questions, please?
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The first question is from the line of Indrajit Agarwal from CLSA India. Please go ahead. Indrajit, may I request to unmute your line and go ahead with your question, please.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on Sanghi. Congratulations on the acquisition. So post the acquisition, would Sanghi as a brand cease to exist? Meaning, would the entire volumes be sold under MSA to ACC Ambuja, or that brand will also exist?
Okay. Hi, Rajit. The simple answer is we already shifted the entire sales in the brands of Ambuja and ACC, and that is very well received in the market. So Sanghi as a brand, we are not using.
Okay, this is helpful. Thank you. My second question is actually on the CAPEX. If you can help us with the guidance of CAPEX for 24, 25 and 26 and the split between Ambuja and ACC on this.
So if you see our investor deck, we have loaded slide 29. All the details are there. We have, as I mentioned also in my opening, two lines, 8 million ton clinker, 19.6 million cement. In addition, there are five new grinding stations. I know this question will also come later, so I'm attempting an answer now only so that I, you know, perhaps another question on the same I'll answer. The Amravati and Jalgaon, the land acquisition is currently in active progress. We expect this to be completed by an EC also by December 24. And therefore, after that, about 14 months, the project should be on. Hoshiarpur in Punjab, the land has been purchased. Public hearing has been completed. So we are already in an advanced stage. I think we should get the EC by March 24. After that, again, around 14 to 15 months, the project should be live. The Bihar grinding unit, Varsali Ganj, land is already available. Public hearing also completed. The EC timeline is March 24. After that, 14 to 16 months for project completion. And Pune, the land is identified under progress. Like Amravati and Jalgaon, we should get it by EC by December 24. And after that, another 12 to 14 months. So this is the status of the new five grinding units, which have been announced today, in addition to 19.5, which have already announced with the timelines.
And how will we source the clinker here?
So we have clinker at ACC Wadi. We are doing some debottlenecking there. Maharashtra, we have anyway put up a clinker line of 4 million, so that can easily produce 6.5 million tons of cement. And you can see the three grinding units are coming in there, Pune, Amravati and Jalgaon. Regarding Bihar, we already have put a grind, you know, we are putting a new line at Vatapara, which can again produce with slag and composite cement closer to 7 million, of which 4 million is in Bengal and the remaining, as I mentioned, in Bihar and some of the other areas. So more or less well-balanced clinker across. Obviously, very soon you'll also hear from us the next set of clinker lines. I can tell you a lot of work is already being done, but today's call I'm not going to announce new clinker lines, but rest be assured a lot of work has already been done there.
And Inderjit, just to also preempt another question, so for December quarter, Sanghi, it was only say 25 working days, which is part of the results. And just to also highlight, the entire integration process has gone very well ahead of the plan. And March quarter, you will see some good volume jump coming from Sanghi itself, which I'm expecting almost a million ton for the 3 months. And compared to less than 0.3 million for the December or less than 0.2 million for December quarter. So, Sanghi, this volume expansion is on back of the brand strength of Ambuja and ACC, as well as the overall, say, distribution strength of both the companies. And hence, it makes more relevant to use Ambuja and ACC.
Sure. Thank you so much. I have more questions. I'll join with you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pratik Kumar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, good afternoon, sir. My question is on if you can explain the cost hit which we had during this quarter because of which EBITDA per ton has got hit during the current quarter. Is it related to buying clinker from ACC or from outside? And what part of it is extraordinary? Can you say you have like sort of took a 12% clinker shutdown during the quarter?
Basically, we had three big kilns of Ambuja, which are about 40% of our clinker. They were under the routine maintenance, and one had an unscheduled breakdown. As a result, the clinker production was less, and therefore the cost absorption was on a lower volume. I think that's the main principal reason. And I think other than that, I don't see, and I think that should come back in the following quarters.
What would be the cost associated with this? I mean, because I ask is like most of your peers have reported 200 rupees improvement in EBITDA per ton. ACC is like also higher on a standalone basis at least. So your consolidated number actually looks quite good, but your standalone numbers of Ambuja are looking like sort of flattish on unit EBITDA. So all that loss has like sort of got booked in ACC in terms of AC, more clinker purchase from ACC, and as a result, ACC results have improved significantly during the quarter.
See, one question was always asked to me was in past that ACC and Ambuja had a big lag, right? So, and we always said that we are running both companies with the same set of lens. So we have seen ACC performance certainly going up. If you see standalone, Ambuja volumes are pretty good, I would say. It's just that absorption has happened because in some clinker capacities were not running. As a result, our cost for Ambuja for this particular quarter is slightly higher. But I think this should catch up. Another, I think about 100 rupees a ton is a catch up I would expect.
That is there. So just to put some numbers, let us say in September on standalone, Ambuja was 1,020 rupees a ton on EBITDA. And as you rightly said, this shutdown and also higher clinker of the inventory which has been consumed, close to about 150 to 2 rupees, 200 rupees a ton is what is going to, it has affected Ambuja. So if I normalize it, it would be close to 1200 odd rupees, which is also a 200 rupees jump in the EBITDA. So Pratik only, right? So Pratik, just to give you numbers like this, higher cost of the shutdown of almost say 40% capacity costed me almost 50 rupees a ton. Then the inventory of clinker which I consumed, the opening stock, if you see also the difference in the change in the inventory, earlier it was positive, this quarter it is negative because I have consumed more inventory of the opening stock, which has cost me almost like 30 to 40 rupees. And then higher sales of the traded goods. When it comes to say Ambuja, there has been a higher proportion, and I will explain to you on the MSA part, which also costed another say 30, 40 rupees. So close to 150 odd rupees has been impacted to Ambuja standalone EBITDA. Otherwise, it would be closer to 1200 rupees a ton on a normalized basis.
Yeah. And also on a MSA, one good news is that you know we have been able to maximize the synergies between the two companies. As a result, that volume has taken a significant improvement. And when you consolidate at Ambuja level, at a Holdco level, you find that the margins are now really shooting up. So I think that's a very good news, I would say, because the interstate improvement for MSA volume itself has been substantial uptick for the consolidated company, which is Ambuja.
Sure. Just one clarification. Q4, this 150 rupees should swing back, right?
Yes, for sure. In fact, therefore, we also highlighted in our press release that this will come. The benefits will come in the coming quarters, immediately in Q4 itself.
Sure. Thank you, sir. These are my questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Rashi Chopra from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my first question on the cost side, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, the cost will improve by about 400 rupees a ton based on all the efficiency parameters, etc. So how much of that is already done, and how much is, you know, how much more can come?
So, Raashi, if you see my opening, we already have, you know, saved some because of increased share of waste heat. By March, you'll see a substantial improvement in the RE because 200 MW is getting commissioned. Let's say on a 32% factor, 60 MW of RE would be available to us. Then next year, as I mentioned, we are further going to add waste heat recovery. So I think in the journey of 400, we and our EBITDA already at consolidated level is now nearing 1,200. So you can see improvement happening purely on efficiency. But I believe another 300 rupees will come over the next 12 to 24 months.
So, Raashi, what Ajay is highlighted some of the important investments which we are making in terms of the power, renewable power, WHRS, and also in terms of the raw materials procurement. For example, whether it comes to gypsum, whether it comes to fly ash, putting CapEx for fly ash handling system, or putting facility of synthetic gypsum. These all are going to give us the visibility of at least a couple of hundred crores of cost reduction in coming quarters.
Got it. Thank you.
So we are very confident of achieving our 1,450 guidance, which we had given in the initial period. I think we are very much on the exit of the FY 2024. We should be moving towards that.
And this is keeping in mind, I mean, your EBITDA per ton guidance, keeping in mind that, you know, the price hikes that happened over the course of the last few months have kind of reversed, etc. So this is really only a cost advantage we're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't want to get into the price debate and discussion because, you know, it's a very dynamic one, first of all. So it's not right for me to comment there. I was therefore commenting only that you've seen from when we put up our strategy roadmap in May last year, from then till now, we had guided about 400 rupees plus cost improvement on a static price line. Of that, I said another 300 should flow in over the next 12 to 24 months. What are the levers? 90 rupees per ton will straight away come from waste heat and green power when fully implemented. And, you know, another 50 to 60 will come from logistics, and another 50 to 60 will come from footprint optimization. And the last 50 will come from the raw material procurement.
Yeah.
And this still doesn't have the play of our own, you know, fuel management. I think that will be on top. So I'm very comfortable that I'll exceed that guidance which I've given. And there's no question we are very much progressing on that direction.
Sorry, I missed that 90 was waste heat recovery and green, 50, 60 logistics, 50 was raw material, and what was the other 50?
Footprint optimization.
Oh, footprint optimization. Okay.
Yeah, you have two grinding stations. Your
yeah.
Cost of the market tends to improve. And it's straight away, the one lever which hits first is the lead distance. And every kilometer per ton, you know, if you take 4 or 5 rupees, the decrease in cost is substantial.
Understood. Thank you. That's very helpful. Just one more question. So currently your grinding capacity, cement capacity is 77.4 and clinker is 51. And in the immediate visibility based on the announced expansion, you have cement going to 110. And I know you said you didn't want to detail clinker, but at 110 cement base, how much clinker do you expect to have?
Again, as I said, then I'll have to give you a number which I'd rather come out with a proper, you know, guidance and with the details as we have loaded on our website today. So allow some time. I can assure you, just to give you some comfort, at Sanghi itself, I have a billion ton of limestone. Likewise, there are multiple sites where work is going on. Land has been acquired. EC applications have been filed. So I want to announce when my EC application for a mother plant is already in my hand. So just wait for some time.
Sure. So just on a consolidated basis, from a volume growth perspective, you know, FY 25, 26, how do you look at that?
Let me only give you a number right now. A growth number for Indian demand should be about 7 to 8%. I'm very confident about that. I think our normal capacities, existing capacities should get that number. And our new capacities that we have acquired, and also some of the markets that we have acquired with those capacities, that should give us a number on top of the normal 7 to 8%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Rashi, like straight away, we have added almost 15 million tons, 15% of the capacity where we were 67.5 and today we are at 77.4. That will definitely add up to my overall volume when the full blow-up strategy comes on the capacity which we acquire. Now, you can just do the math. This will definitely be better than the industry growth for Ambuja Consolidated.
Thank you. Rashi, sorry to interrupt you. I'll request to come back in the question queue. Participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant and join the queue again for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Rahul Gupta from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, hi.
Can you hear me? Yeah, hi. Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my questions. So I have 2 questions. First, out of this 2.9 million ton of MSS sales, can you help me understand how much would be to ACC on net basis?
I will take up that, Rahul. In terms of this 2.9 million tons, 1.7 comes from ACC to Ambuja and 1.3 comes from Ambuja to ACC.
Got it. Got it. My second question is a bit related to strategy. So how is the group thinking now with respect to ACC and Sanghi consolidation into Ambuja? Or is it they would continue to keep three companies separately listed eventually? Any color on this would be very helpful. Thank you.
Rahul, you know, you would appreciate at this moment, if there was any comment, I would have already commented in the press release or in our media statement. Give us some time. We'll come back to you with a more coherent and a clear strategy on that. For ACC Ambuja, we are very clear. Right now, we are running it as 2 companies. However, you have seen the MSA volume. The MSA volume in this quarter has been the highest and the biggest, and that you're already showing in the result margin for the consolidated entity. As far as Sanghi is concerned, we just acquired. We are still in the process of, you know, finishing certain steps. Step 1 is to finish our open offer. Step 2 would be to integrate. Again, there are 4 or 5 steps before I can answer the question you have raised, but allow some time, we'll come back to you on that.
Thanks. So just a follow-up on this. So is it fair to say that the MSA volumes, net MSA volumes of around 2.9 or 3 million ton would be the way to go forward with?
I think at this moment, with this volume is all right, but don't forget that every year we are adding 10 to 15% new capacity. So as the new capacities get added, until such time the 2 entities remain the way they are, we will always keep optimizing the footprint, and that's where the value is coming in. And you're seeing for yourself that at a holdco level, we have seen a margin uptick coming because of consolidation and because of MSA. So I would say the full strategy is playing out beautifully well.
Great. Yeah, this is very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Last year we had detailed discussion about the strategic roadmap, and some of the contours in terms of the cost and other things are beginning to get visible. But I wanted to take an opportunity and check with you as to what your overall vision of the industry, Ambuja combines, place under that, and some of the more tangible I was having a sore throat. So some of the more tangible guideposts in terms of, kind of volume, profitability and capital efficiency over 3 to 5 years time frame. I'm aware of the roadmap that you had drawn and indicated, but my personal opinion is that maybe this is cement industries, probably Indian cement industries, one of the best period ahead is my personal understanding. But I would like to have some more clarity from your end as to how you view it. And Ambuja combines place under that overall opportunity for the industry.
So, Bharatji, thanks. I think you asked me very, very interesting questions. They are also, you know, strategic and future-oriented. Let me attempt answers. First of all, you know, our position is very clear. We want to grow and we want to have an end state roadmap, which our chairman had, you know, given us this vision of doubling the capacity from the day we acquired the companies, from 67.5 to 140. I've already in my PR today released the number of 110 million, of which 10 has already been acquired, which has already taken to 77.5 in 1 year. Work on multiple others already started, but a very clear roadmap with names we have given up to 110 million. Now, that clearly is a work in that direction. On the cost leadership, you're seeing the margins improve. You've also seen the turnaround in the company of ACC under Adani leadership. It's a complete turnaround. And today, ACC EBITDA margin is nearing 1,000. And when we acquired, it was almost negative a year back. Now, coming on, how do I see next 3 to 5 years? I believe EBITDA per ton of Ambuja consolidated should be in the realm of 1450 plus. That guidance stays firmly in place. And this guidance is not basis price. This guidance is firmly based on cost. And I'm very confident this will come. And it will be further, you know, supported with a larger volume from the current 77.5 to 140. We should be selling 120 million tons by March of 28. I'm very confident we should be able to get to that number. Now, I think that itself will tell you the position, the valuation and the financial matrices. Because that will also give me a ROCE of closer to 19% with an EBITDA margin of 25-26%, other things remaining equal. So I think that's what I have put out in the public space. That's what I'll like to further, you know, reiterate and also mention that a lot of actions on ground are happening across our sites. I hope I've answered your question, Bharatji.
Return on capital employed of 19-20%, would you not regard it as a little less ambitious? Because today, cement, Indian cement industry is placed in the global context on many qualitative parameters is much more distinguished than before. Industry itself is consolidated, underlying demand drivers in terms of real estate, housing, infrastructure, all that appear to be robust, and it looks very clear that industry which has grown in last 20 years at 6-7% per annum in volume terms should do a lot better on a larger base in the next 20 years. Therefore, consolidation of the industry, improvement of the practices, very clearly global level capability and capacity emerging, and the opportunity highway, and our stringent focus on internal efficiency and raising the bar there, 19-20% in a consolidated industry for a lead player, would you not regard it as somewhat underwhelming?
Bharatji, one thing I didn't mention, this is on static prices. My entire strategy, which I had laid out then and I'm again laying out today, I have not considered a healthy price increase in this. So if there's a price increase, as you rightly mentioned, with the demand-supply gap narrowing, the upside could be much higher. But in the interest of time, I would suggest we can engage offline and we can have a much more nuanced discussion on it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Kapoor, sir.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Devesh Agarwal from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir.
Sorry to interrupt you. Can you please speak through the handset? Your voice is echoing.
Is it better?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, firstly. I missed the number on the cost that is there in this quarter on per kg basis. What is that number and what is the expectation for the fourth quarter?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
cost per kcal basis, sir, for third quarter and your expectation for the fourth quarter?
1.82, I think, is the cost I give it. And I think we expect the cost to more or less trend in the same format, because we expect much more smart buying on petcoke prices. And also, what do you call it? It was 1.84. Sorry.
So just to
fuel cost.
Just to add, Devesh, so you're right. I think what we have seen in this quarter, December, is that the petcoke has been subdued in terms of the overall prices, which has come down almost like, if I compare, say 20-odd% from $140 a ton to almost like $115 a ton. Now, there is a lag effect with coal. And now, for example, we are seeing a good trend of softening of the coal prices for this quarter, and definitely it should help. As you know, that my basket of coal is actually improving in terms of domestic more as compared to import, and we also definitely have put all the 3 lakh tons of opportunity buy when it comes to petcoke from Saudi Aramco. So that is definitely going to help me in coming quarters.
All right, sir. And Sanghi, sir, you mentioned a 1 million ton volume in the next quarter itself, in the running quarter. That implies a 75% utilization. So what are your plans to increase capacity at Sanghi, the 10 million ton that you mentioned? And what would be the markets that you are targeting from the Sanghi plant?
So Sanghi plant will initially target Gujarat and Maharashtra markets. And in time to come, as the full, strategy plays out, it will go down south as well to markets of Cochin and Mangalore. But it will cover the entire Gujarat. It will cover parts of Maharashtra, most of the coastal parts, and then it will also then go down south.
And so target to increase from 6 to 10 million ton?
That I will lay out in my roadmap, as I mentioned. The next set of kiln announcements, you will also hear a Sanghi kiln.
Right, sir. And one final question, sir. What are the timelines for the balance warrant money that is likely to come from promoters?
So, Devesh, as you know, that the timelines are somewhere like mid of April, but that is where the promoter group will be able to highlight on that part. So, as of now, no comments on that.
All right, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Naveen Sadhu from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Two questions, one on CAPEX, second on the sustainability of fixed cost reduction. So on CAPEX, if you could first, share the actual cash outflow that you are, estimating. Because what I also see is, while your clinker addition, which is given so far, is about 10.25, 8 already announced, 2.25 at Mundra, and total grinding is almost 32 million tons. So it does appear that for a, from an FY27 year perspective, we could be higher on the grinding and lesser on the clinker front.
So as I mentioned earlier on the clinker, very soon you will hear the next set of clinker capacities. I'm waiting for public hearings to be done. I expect these to be done by June. Post that, you will hear our next set of kilns, for which most of the land is in our possession. These are brownfield assets, limestone reserves in our possession, land in our possession, only public hearing we are awaiting. Therefore, some places we have to build. This will always happen as we expand. Sometimes the grinding will be ahead, sometimes the clinker will be ahead, but we are very confident that, and these projects, since they are brownfield, we should be able to get from the time of EC approval to the plant commissioning, outer limit would be 18 to 20 months.
So Naveen, if you are preempting in terms of the overall say capital management plan around this CapEx, then we have done our maths, and for any intermittent, any M&A outgo. Otherwise, all our CapEx is well planned, aligned with the cash flows, what we are expecting from the business. And if there is any requirement for any additional opportunity, definitely our balance sheet is very, very strong, very healthy, debt-free as of now. So that is capable to handle that part.
Fair. And second question was about the sustainability of fixed cost reduction, because we have seen in case of ACC, particularly, and also in case of Ammonia, fixed cost
at least the staff expenses and in case of ACC, even the other expenses, we have seen a significant reduction. So just wanted to get a sense, are these more sustainable or it had probably some element of one-off or it could be volatile going ahead? Thanks.
I think there's no one-off per se. I would say the entire strategy as we had laid out last year is now playing out in full potential. There is a lean management, there is a single management, and of course, we have also volume as it kicks in. You will find the fixed cost journey at least will not go haywire from where it is. It will only get slightly improved further. But I don't see any major uptick in the cost going forward. And some of the cost in other expenses, we are also now investing in brands. I think that part, I would say, was underinvested. In future, we'll invest a little more. But I think other than that, I think it's more or less in place. I don't see any major concerns going forward either way.
But Naveen, like interestingly, this one-off question has been coming every quarter, and every quarter we have been sustaining in terms of the cost, which actually shows that last four quarters from almost a 10% reduction, and if you start from looking at the March to December 23, that trend is very, very clear. And in all our investor presentations, we are highlighting all the components of the cost, and further we have now highlighted what are the efficiency improvements, capexes. So only from here there will be improvement.
And of course, annual bonus, as you know, kicks in the April quarter. So there could always be a little bit natural, payout of bonuses. So that's the only thing which should happen going forward.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sumangal Nevatia from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Firstly, appreciate the granular details on various aspects in the presentation. My first question is on the volume growth part. So if you look at last four quarters, our volume growth on the consolidated basis has been just 2.5-2.6%, excluding the Sanghi volumes. Versus peers have grown by early teens. So just want to understand from the last four quarters, I mean, what are the key reasons why we are lacking the growth and losing market share? And some future guidance on this aspect.
So if you see for the current quarter, I believe the industry growth is about 3.5%. We are more or less in line with the industry growth. Within that, if you see Ambuja is standalone about 6%, so it's a little better than the industry growth. I think in the, and also of course in this quarter you had a very bad November. So some of those issues also had impact on rest of the industry. It also had and there are some elections, I think, in this quarter. I think going forward, as I mentioned, the industry growth should be about 6%. At the base level, all of our units should be able to get plus that. And all the incremental volumes that we are adding in the system, plus the catch-up, as you rightly mentioned, should also help us, and I can only give you, that January, we are seeing a very robust numbers for the entities. So I think I'm very confident that going forward, we should have a healthy growth.
Okay.
And just to highlight, in terms of our capacity utilization, see, we are amongst the highest in the peers at 77-odd%, which means with every increasing capacity, one can just expect that the volume expansion will be proportionately growing with that. That is a straightforward, like, for example, maths.
Okay, got it. And I missed the capex number. Is it possible to share what is our full year capex latest guidance for FY24 and 25 as well?
Let me take this question. Basically, let's go with the overall. Again, I would reflect you on the 140 million tons of plan, right, which is staggered into the next 4 years. And for, as I highlighted, 80% of this we will be achieving by, say, 27. And when I do complete math, I'm generating an EBITDA of close to, say, 8 to 10,000 crores, which we'll be generating. And the business itself will be throwing a healthy cash of 5 to 6,000 crore net of taxes and all. So from an overall capex outflow perspective, each year we are expecting a 4 to 5,000 crore outflow staggered over the next 3-4 years. For FY24, we are expecting 3,500 crore overall basically outflow. So this quarter we will see a good capex outflow as well. Sanghi will be adding to the incremental requirement. But however, as I mentioned, from an overall capital management plan strength perspective, the numbers which we are discussing with you, these are all without any incremental borrowings at this stage. These are all basis the healthy cash flows and the existing treasury on the books, which will be self-sustaining. And the EBITDA which are highlighting to you doesn't factor in the potential jump on basis of the price realizations improving. So this is a cost leadership journey which we have achieved, and any further improvement on the market which you have highlighted will only be adding to my EBITDA. So the business is generating a good healthy cash flows and which will maintain my capex plans. So broadly, as I said, 5 to 6% CR from a cash outflow perspective, and from a commitment perspective, 8 to 10,000 crores a year you can expect.
Got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from the line of Amit Murarka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the arrangement with Adani Cements, the hedge plant. I think in the presentation you have mentioned that you've entered into an arrangement. Can you please explain that?
So like we do a master supply agreement between Ambuja and ACC, since it's a related party, we have done a similar arrangement with the hedge unit of Adani Cementation, wherein we use it like a toll manufacturing. So we give them clinker, convert it into cement and take it at the X factory gate, sell it in both Ambuja and ACC brands. More or less similar arrangement as we have done with all our entities, including now Asian, which ACC has acquired in North.
Okay. So is it a cost plus 10% arrangement, like similar to, let's say, what we saw in Sanghi, or it's a different arrangement?
So since this is on a pure tolling basis, so this will not be cost plus 10%. It will be on a basis of tolling charges per metric ton, which is close to about 300 to 350 rupees a ton.
So in this case, in Sanghi, Sanghi is producing clinker and billing us on cost plus. Plus, we are taking the entire investments. We have given loans at a very market friendly pricing versus what they were getting earlier. So I think, and then entire brands are from Ambuja and ACC. In this case, we are using the grinding unit purely as a tolling unit. So we have to mitigate the entire cost, and then we buy it on a price more or less the same formula as we do for ACC and Ambuja.
I stand corrected here. This is on a sales basis only, similar to what we have adopted. It's not on a tolling, sorry. It is on a sales basis which we have adopted for Sanghi and ACIL. So it is on a similar principle.
There would be some double counting of volume then, right? When you sell clinker, you would be booking as clinker sale, and then cement sold externally will again be booked as sale.
Sorry, couldn't follow the question.
Double accounting.
No, it will not be.
You will sell clinker to the hedge, right? And then they will sell cement to you.
Yeah. So in this case, for example, we will only factor in the sale of the cement which will be there from our side. And in the cost, it will also come as a purchase of cement. So basically, that is how it will be. But there will not be any purchase double accounting.
So then we sell the cement externally. So that will come as sales, cement sales as well.
Yes. I will be selling and then I will be buying. Delta is mine.
Okay, sure. And also on your ACC, just if you could just help understand, like, there has been quite a bit of volatility in the numbers there. Like, we saw Q1 be good, Q2 again being weak, Q3 has again been good, thankfully. So now can we expect the 1,000 rupee EBITDA profile to sustain, like, and in fact, hopefully improve from there? Or if you can just delve into that a bit.
So basically, if you see ACC movement has been, you're right. I mean, it was March quarter was 554, December 22 was 496. Sequentially, you have seen from June from 800 to September, it had a dip, and then it has again gone up. I would say it's more stable now. A lot of inefficiencies in the system have been addressed, and we are also addressing the tail end plant. So I think that's also helping. On top, we are also doing a footprint optimization. I think and this was a question, if you all recall, was asked that why was such a big margin gap between the two entities. And I think that strategy is now playing up.
Sure. So we now hope for 1,000 rupee profile to sustain basically, right, at ACV?
Hopefully so. Yes, we are also hoping the same.
Okay, sure. And
sorry to interrupt you.
Sorry.
Okay, sure. I'll come later. Okay, sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
We'll take one more question and then can end
there. Yes, sir. Next question is from the line of Satyadeep Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. A couple of questions. One, on the new capacity expansion you've announced of 2.5 million tons. Which entity would that come under? Some Adani Cement, I guess, but maybe can you talk about where all these capacities are?
So all the capacities that I've announced, I think the ones are there on the slide number 30 of our investor deck. This is the limestone ones. I think the two clinker lines are coming in Ambuja, slide 29, sorry. Bhatinda is in Ambuja, Bhatapara is in Ambuja, Maratha of course is Ambuja, Sankrail is Ambuja, Marwar is Ambuja, Farakka is Ambuja, Sindri is ACC, Salai Banwa is ACC, Mundra is Ambuja, and of the new capacities that are coming in, all of them are in Ambuja.
I just wanted to ask, given ACC also has a lot of cash on the books, what's the thought process behind adding all these capacities in Ambuja and not ACC?
As I mentioned, I have yet to announce a new set of cement kilns, and in time to come, you will hear expenditure planned over there as well from ACC.
Okay. Second was on power. Thank you for all the details slides you put out. It's very informative. So just wanted to ask on power. Obviously, Adani Cement. Ambuja is doing all the power commissioning execution by itself. Whereas you have Adani Green, Adani Power, they have the experience. What's the thought behind doing it in-house? And also, when you're building at 1.3 rupees savings, can you maybe talk about what kind of grid power costs you have assumed for that kind of saving?
So basically, we have taken around average 7 rupees grid power cost. That is basis this working. I think the details are given in slide 43, I think. And then if you really look at the mix, it's not just green, it's also waste heat recovery. Waste heat, we are looking at, the grid we have calculated for FY 2027-28 around 8 rupees 50 paisa, CPP 8 rupees 28 paisa, waste heat about 1.4, and then that's how we have worked out this saving.
Okay. The CPP seems very high. Just on that model, because you're building all this green energy, which is going to be solar, would be mostly during the day. So during the evening, you're going to replace grid-based captive coal plant. Is that correct? And would that mean that you ramp down the coal plant during the day? During the day, you shut down coal, and during the evening, you start. Is that how you said?
It is on the technical minimum, wherever the capture.
So what we have done is, on a technical minimum, what the grinding units, the captive power plants will be run during the night, and during the day, the solar would be drawn. I think that's what, and we have taken a lot of help from our colleagues in the green and also in our distribution in part of, planning the strategy.
Because of the ramp down, you've assumed more than 8 rupees cost for CPP, is that correct? Otherwise, that cost can slightly...
No. CPP cost is basically will also go up because we have taken some assumptions in the cost of coal. That's the reason. Going forward.
You've assumed cost of coal is high. Okay.
There will be some... That is what has... We have taken the trend of past few years.
Okay.
2-3% inflation we have taken for the purpose of our modeling.
And just on that, why Ambuja is executing this and why not Adani Power and Green given their capabilities in that?
No, sir. So basically, good point and good observation. So it is basically investment from Ambuja on its balance sheet because this is like a strategically important investment from my cost to my ESG requirements and all. And Adani Green, which is a group's leader in the green power, they are helping us to implement it. So a large part of this green power is coming in Khavda, where Adani Green has a sizable, as we all know, ongoing projects, and where they are giving us some part of this out of this Khavda location. So of course they are helping us in terms of implementing and executing this project. But strategically it is important from Ambuja perspective. As I highlighted, it's a long-term requirement for me and also helps me in my overall larger ESG standards.
Thank you. Satyadeep, sorry to interrupt you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to paucity of time, we will take that as the last question. I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Charanjit Singh for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. And thanks for taking out the time. For any leftover, you can directly reach out to me after the call. Looking forward to another engagement after Q4 results. Thank you, everyone, and good day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.